And even in ruby red districts and ruby red states, I mean, as conservative can be, they are voting to legalize abortion. It's happening. It's absolutely mind-blowing, but it's just a sign of the times we're living in. And but we need to continue to pray. But my point in mentioning that was life began. I mean, Jesus has always lived. He didn't start living in the womb. He was alive way before he robed himself in flesh, but he was alive in Mary's womb this night when he came, this night when he was found in the womb of Mary and was born. I mean, this was 9 months in, but he had been alive the entire time. He had been alive going through that that growing process in the womb, and I don't think that we ought to kill babies or make laws to make it legal to kill babies at 6 weeks or 7 weeks or 15 weeks. No weeks should we legalize and call it lawful to kill babies. That's just absolutely demonic and wicked. I don't know what in the world politicians are thinking, and that even goes for our president, president-elect, Donald Trump. He's wrong, and I'm for him on a lot of things, but he's absolutely wrong when it comes to that. I don't care how popular or who it is, whether it's a preacher, a pope, or a potent, I don't care who it is. Listen, God has the final authority on what's right, and it is wrong to kill babies, period. And ain't you glad? And there was a host of people trying to kill Jesus. Way before he got to the cross, the devil did everything he could to try to kill him and to try to stop him from getting there. But ain't you glad God was greater than the devil, and God could make Jesus disappear and just when crowds would be around him and be thronging him and trying to kill him, he would just poof and pop up somewhere else. Praise God. If he can do that for Jesus and did, I think he can take care of us. Amen. And he will. But we're dealing with the subject, the night shepherds met the shepherd. And we are in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And we dealt, number one, with the astonishment that these shepherds experienced. Boy, they had an experience, wouldn't you say? I mean, these ordinary, normal, just ragtag team of men of low estate and looked down upon, as we talked about Sunday. These men were just doing their job there in the middle of the field, just like any ordinary night. But boy, this was an extraordinary night. And these men had an experience that was absolutely astonishing. And we dealt with that. And then number two, we looked at not only the astonishment they experienced, but then we looked at the announcement that they received. My goodness, what an announcement. I mean, God could have chose anybody. God, if we was looking through human eyes and using human logic, we would probably think, well, God would send the angel to the temple and let the high priest know, or let some of the religious hierarchy know, or maybe even the king know. No, my friend, God sent this powerful announcement to the lowly, to the ordinary, to the shepherds. And my, what an announcement it was. And it was such a powerful announcement that these shepherds, men who were known for not being Christian people, were not known for their religiosity. These were outcasts. These were men who were not even allowed in the temple. And yet, God sent a message that they received. Ain't you glad when you and I give the message of the gospel, that powerful message, the gospel message, the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, that they're still sinners that will receive the message? I know we're living in dry times. I know we're living in times of the great falling away, and men's hearts have waxed cold, and it seems like there are fewer and fewer getting saved. But thank God, if we'll take the message faithfully, if we will take the message God gave us, the greatest message ever been told to man, the greatest message man has ever heard, and we'll just keep giving that message, that powerful, powerful, more powerful than an atomic bomb, more powerful than a dynamo. I mean, the powerful message of the gospel, people will receive it. I'm standing in the room preaching to a host of people that heard the message and received it. And if you hadn't received it, you've heard it. And it's on you that you hadn't received it. And if you don't, soon enough, you'll die and go to hell. I plead with you, if you never receive the message, don't put that off. But this announcement, it was so powerful. Low IQ nobodies, people like you'd find in Packlet. Now, you know I'm telling you, I ain't saying y'all dumb. I ain't saying I'm dumb. I'm some dumb, but I ain't plumb dumb. I'm saying, you know, these highfalutin people up in New York City. New York City? Y'all remember that commercial? New York City? They look down at a place like Packlet, and you know they consider us country bumpkins. And I remember going to Bible college, and that wasn't even New York. But I remember just going up to North Carolina to Bible college, and boy, they I was sharing this with Brother Orange for the while I was having lunch or supper, and I remember going up there and I sat down in class, and boy, I was nervous, and there's all these people and these teachers and these preachers, and They had all these degrees behind their name, and they were called theologians, and I thought, wow, man, I'm here to learn from these great men. And some of them were good men, and some of them wasn't too good at all. And I remember sitting down in class, and if I called the names, many of you would know the men. Some of them even have relations to this church. Theologians, degrees behind their name. And they got up and they started reading the Bible, but it wasn't a Bible. It was something different than what my Bible read. And me just being an old country boy from Packlet, I raised my hand. Brother Ned, I said, hey, excuse me, Mr. Theologian. Excuse me, doctor. That ain't what my Bible says. Oh, son, that's what you here for. We gonna teach you better. We know you just backwood, but that's why you preacher sent you here. We gonna work all that out, and we gonna teach you all that. And the Holy Ghost wasn't bearing witness in my heart. It was something in me saying that's wrong. I don't care who's saying it, that ain't right. And I mean, hey, the Bible said let the peace of God rule your heart. And that word rule means let him be the umpire. Let him call balls or strikes. And the Holy Ghost was saying, that's foul ball. That's a foul ball. I don't care who's doing the pitching. That's out of bounds. Amen. And to make a long story short, I went back to my preacher and I ended up leaving the church, my church over it. And listen to me. Still today, and because the Holy Ghost don't change with the wind. Amen. Are you listening to me? He is the wind. He bloweth where he listeneth, but he don't change with the wind. He is truth. He's God, just as much God as the Son of God, just as much God as God the Father, and he changeth not. And he ain't going to tell me one day that it ain't right and tell me 10 years down the road that he's changed his mind. No, if it was ever the truth, it's still the truth. And if it was ever right, it's still right. And if it was ever wrong, it's still wrong. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. You can have enough to pop a thermometer. Listen to me. God's word is true. Amen. And if I can't believe that Jesus, listen to me, if I can't believe this whole book, then how in the world can I believe Jesus was born of a virgin? If I can't believe this whole book, then how in the world am I going to stake my eternal destiny on what this book said? How am I supposed to know which part is true and which part ain't? No, I tell you what I believe. I believe the Holy Ghost, and when the Holy Ghost, after I went and studied, and I even stood against my own pastor, and I studied hundreds and hundreds of hours, where did we get our Bible? How did we get our Bible? And it all come down to this. Every translation in the English language, every single one of them came from one text called the Vaticanus text. That text, that corrupt text, that perverted text that come out of the Vatican Church, the Catholic Church, and listen to me, it's found in a trash can. And they, listen to me, that's where every version we have comes from. In the English speaking language, the Message, the ESV, the RSV, the NIV, the MICKEYMOUSE, they all trash. You got 411 different versions. And they all supposed to say the same thing, yet they all different. Now you tell me how something can be different. That's what I asked my preacher, Brother Stephen. I said, then how, if it can be better rendered here, how can two things that's supposed to be perfect be different?
Amen.
He didn't have an answer for that. And they ain't a man that does. And not only is it perfect, but praise God, it's preserved.
Amen.
God said, I will preserve. That's what them theologians at Bible college told me. They said, oh no, listen, that's wrote by man. You can't trust man. Man will mess it up. And you can't trust some book written by some man. I mean, who could trust a man to write that down? And it's been translated, and it's been, I mean, do you not know? That's what we're here to teach you, son. Listen, way back then, that stuff was wrote on papyrus paper. It was wrote like on stuff that was less and thinner than newspaper. And they'd have to, those scribes would have to write it over and over and over, and they'd pass it around and roll them scrolls up and pass it from person to person, and they would wear out, and they'd have to keep. He said, there ain't no way that could have stayed perfect. I said, oh yes, there was a way.
Amen.
He is the way.
Amen.
The truth.
Amen.
The life. And if he, being God, could breathe and inspire his word into man to have holy men of old pin the words down, then he ain't going to have no trouble preserving his word. He can take sinful man and he can use sinful man's fingers to pin down holy words. And he can take sinful man's paper and sinful man's purposes. And people say, oh, do you know about King James? Do you know how wicked King James was? And this and that, and they'll go off about how wicked King James was. Listen to me. I don't worship King James. King James has zero to do with this Bible. What has to do is this Bible right here. I said every version that we have came from one manuscript except this one. You got about 200 over here, and there's probably way more than that now. And then you got one that came from Antioch. You ever heard of Antioch? Antioch's in your Bible, and it ain't the Vatican Church. Ain't got nothing to do with a priest or a Hail Mary or none of that nonsense. Antioch was where the church began. Antioch's where God moved. Antioch's where the Holy Ghost moved. And listen to me, this Bible was founded, and this manuscript was founded and went all the way back to Antioch, and it's the only Bible we have, the only one. It stands alone, and it stood the test of time. And you can't find one, not even one half, not a quarter, not a tenth, not a trillionth of a piece that contradicts itself. Line upon line, precept upon precept, that is God's holy word.
Amen.
I thank God for that, because listen, now I don't have to hesitate when I'm telling people, hey, listen, this is what the Bible says. This ain't what I say. This ain't what you say. We can get my opinion out of it. We can take your opinion out of it, and we'll just go and say, let's just see what God has to say about it. Because when you say that, when you remove what my opinion is and your opinion is, and you just lay the book down, that'll put the Jehovah Witness in his place. That'll put the Mormon in his place. That'll put the nut job Baptist in his place. That'll put the Pentecostal in his place. The Presbyterian in his place. The Catholic in his place. And let God be true and every man a lie.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I can say with authority, holding this book and reading that book and quoting that book, this is the announcement that men will receive. And these shepherds, they received it. They believed it. They believed the message. Ain't you glad you did? Amen. Then number three, they the acknowledgement they offered. Verse 15 and 16 said, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherd said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The shepherds hear the message of the angels and they react. How they responded to the message altered the course of their lives and their eternities. I'm talking about the acknowledgement that they offered. They heard the message, and when the angels give them the message, they heard it, they acknowledged it, and they said, thank you for offering it. And they rejoiced in it. And they dropped their staffs. They left their sheep. Kind of reminds me a whole lot when Jesus came preaching 33 and a half years later, or 30 years later, Jesus came preaching on the Judean hillsides, Brother David, and he got to preaching, and he got up to some by the name of John, he got up to some by the name of Mark, and he got up to some, and they were fishermen, and he said, drop your nets, boys. Come follow me. You know what they did? They dropped their nets. They left their livelihood. They left it all behind. And they simply by faith followed him. That's what these shepherds did. Say, well, who took care of the sheep? Who knows? God, I reckon. But they was on a bigger mission. I tell you, our livelihood gets real small and insignificant when you get on God's track for your life. There's a point in time in my life when money mattered to me. I mean, I was wanting to make some money, buddy. I was 20 year old, making $100,000 a year, single, no children, buddy. I'm telling you, I had it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. It was good. Woo! Got a little chill right there. That's been a long time ago. You know what I found out? Money don't satisfy. The more you get, the more responsibilities and headaches come with it. If money made it all better, then why is these billionaires blowing their brains out? I'm saying there's one thing in this world that we better acknowledge, and that's the offer that God's made to us. And if you do, if you will acknowledge His offer, it'll change your life forever. Not just this life, but your eternal life. And that's what happened to these shepherds. Notice what they could have done. They could have debated like good Baptists do. Now, let's have a business meeting about this. I think we need to have a deacon's meeting and find out which way the wind's blowing, boys. They could have had a debate. They could have sat down and analyzed and, well, what should we do? What do you think we should do? What do you think we should do? Could they afford to leave the sheep? Well, I think, goodness, fellas, I mean, we've had this job for 20 years. My goodness, if we leave the sheep, he liable to fire us all. At least we need to go find somebody to come tend the sheep. And others says, no, but we, you know, he said we got to go. We got to go find baby Jesus. And that business meeting would have turned into about how most business meetings turns into, just a big mess. The best thing to do is just listen to God and follow him. By faith, hear the voice of God and follow him in obedience. That's what they did. And they let the sheep tend to the sheep. God made the sheep. God created the sheep. God is the shepherd. God knows how to keep them sheep where they belong. When he calls you to go do something else, you ain't got to worry about the sheep. I'll give you a quick example. I pastored a church down in Georgia. Brother Randy, they were my people. God give me a heart. When God gives you a church, He gives as a pastor, He gives you a heart for them people. Like, unless you a father, you don't understand what I'm saying. But if you a father, they something happened to you when you had Macy. I ain't telling the truth. When y'all had Dawson, something clicked and changed. When y'all had Randy, didn't something change? But before that, you didn't know. I mean, you had an idea what you might be like, how pudgy and how you dress up and put makeup on, little girl. No, I'm just kidding. I'm saying we'll do crazy things for them kids. You don't understand the love that you can have for a child until you become a daddy or a mama. And until you become a pastor, you don't have any idea what God puts in your heart as a pastor for your people. Because you're their under-shepherd. You're their leader. You're their protector. You're their seer. And God put something in my heart for them people down there. And I'm telling you, I love them people as much as I love anybody. I'd have fought for them. I'd stand with them. I'd done anything in the world I could do for them people. Most of them, when I got down there, I was telling him, it was a liberal church, man. You talking about liberal. They didn't have a King James Bible one, Brother Jackie. My youth pastor, it's God's honest truth, and this can go on the World Wide Web. You ain't got to edit it. It's happened. And I'll say in front of God, my youth pastor's wife, it's how bad it was. When I say liberal, I mean liberal. My youth pastor's wife, who sat right there with all the teenagers, my first service as pastor, I said, let's have youth choir. Let's get all these youth and have a youth choir. Well, she shows up, and the youth pastor shows up, and she shows up with a T-shirt on that's got a big old baked potato that big around on her T-shirt with a face on it with big old eyeballs. And them eyeballs are bloodshot red. And that T-shirt said half-baked. Talking about being half tore up, like smoked a joint or half tore up. And that's what my youth pastor's wife is wearing as an influence to our children. And I said, I'll have you know you will not wear that again here ever. Or she was right there. And I said, and you as her husband being the youth pastor, if you want to continue to hold that job, you'll see to it she never wears it again. Are you listening? My point was it was bad shape, but God gave me a heart for them people. And one by one, I started seeing them get saved by the grace of God. And within a year, over 85% of that congregation got saved. And I didn't count all the others who come in, but I mean the ones who was on the pews. They had just never heard Bible preaching. And so I basically had a brand new church, and we pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and we had a church that was on fire for God. And so all those people were like my converts. I mean, I led them to the Lord, and I preached to them, and I began feeding them. And I said all that to say this. I know what it's like to be a shepherd. I know what it's like when one of them runs astray and it breaks your heart. It tears your heart out when you know it ain't like your child. They grown people and you can't just go fix it and yank them back home. It breaks you. When you see marriages, it kills you. But can I tell you what happened? About 6 years ago, October, God called me here. It was the strangest thing that's ever happened in my life. I said, Lord, I can't leave these people. These are my people. I love these people. I don't want to. I mean, it had to be God. I was living in Hepzibah, Georgia, and I loved it. Now I look at it, and that looks like the most wicked place. If there was one point on the map I could pick never to move to again, it would be Hepzibah, Georgia. But I was in the will of God, and I loved that place, and I loved them people, and they wasn't nothing. And we was hitting our stride. I mean, church was booming. And God said, okay, I'm done with you here. Those sheep are not yours anymore. I need you to go north to South Carolina.
Amen.
I said, no way. After 13 years, no way. You kidding me, Lord? And I'm, you know how I knew